Good morning, everybody. This week we are starting our series Cultivating Spiritual Practices. So we're going to have a bit of an introduction and then a very brief look at prayer. The Bible verses that I've been reflecting on are Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I was reading last weekend about the different ways people have dealt with exercise and eating in the past year. Some doing far more exercise than usual, getting into shape with daily walks and runs and online classes, while others of us have been exercising less and eating more during the pandemic. I won't ask which category you fall into, but I will admit myself as being in the latter. But what we all know is that starting with a small goal and slowly building up is a good way to train, like the Couch to 5K initiative. If I was to run a marathon, then it's no good me starting with running 20 miles. I'd do myself an injury and, well, I'd give up before I got started. But conversely, if I didn't put in some effort, then I'd never get any better. I'd remain more couch than 5K. When athletes train for something, their coach knows that if the training is easy, then the player is weak. Repeatedly doing something builds up muscles and stamina. Just weeks later, you can see and feel the difference, even if only a small change is made. Then you're ready to take a step further, train a bit harder or for longer. It's amazing how quickly muscle memory sets in. It's no different with training ourselves spiritually. I know many of you have been praying the Light of Life morning and evening liturgies. When I was poorly with COVID and expecting another wakeful night of feeling rough, the words just spilled from my thoughts. Saviour, cover us with your assurance and love within, your gift of sleep this night. That's purely because I've been praying it for weeks in the liturgy. The words that Barbara wrote have become etched in my muscle memory. I did it without even thinking, and although I can't honestly say I was blessed with sleep, I was blessed with assurance. I wonder what turns your attention towards God. Are there practices that you find help transcendent realities in the midst of a busy week come into reality? Following Jesus, being his disciple or apprentice, is about how we live. It's about being changed daily. It's not about turning up once a week. As I said in the weekly email on Friday, if the only people who can embark on this kind of spiritual journey are blessed with lots of self-discipline and sufficient free time, then we're in trouble. Following Jesus works, whether you're retired, which I hear is busier than ask credit for, whether you're a single working parent, studying for exams, however you spend your time. So it's time to consider. Are we true followers of Jesus? Or do we simply enjoy the challenge of hearing how he lived? Are we content with how things are? Or do we want more? For if the training is easy, the player is weak. And whilst God accepts us all, and his love for us is not based on what we do, the way we live as disciples, our inner life, is reflected onto our outer lives. Over the next few weeks, we'll look into some of the ways we can grow and discover rhythms for our lives, exploring ways in which we can become as God means us to. We need simple, doable practices that can be incorporated into our daily lives, habits that literally rewire our brains so that our lives are imbued with God's presence. It's when we're able to tap into the Holy Spirit to see God at work in the mundane as well as the spectacular. And I'm guessing that most of our lives are fairly regular and uneventful, that we begin to view life from a different vantage point. From the perspective of God, everything looks different. I can hear you sighing. Will it be easy, you say? No, I don't think so. Many would call these spiritual disciplines rather than practices. We can't become like Jesus without practice. I've met some great people here in the villages, but none of us yet quite match up to Jesus. To be a disciple means to be disciplined. It's a part of love, as Hebrews chapter 12 expounds. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have trained by it. Discipline sounds severe, especially when Galatians 5:1 says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yet spiritual practices offer us the multifaceted truth of being controlled, yet being free. Actively engaging in spiritual practices takes perseverance. It takes time. It takes a lifetime, in fact. But that doesn't mean we should put it off. If the training is easy, the player is weak. As I've been preparing for this series, considering how we can cultivate healthy spiritual practices, there's one theme that has run through different theologians, authors and practitioners on the topic. It's good news. It seems that cultivating a deep connection with God, in turn, leads to a deep joy. So it may not be easy. We may have to choose to stop doing some things in order to pick some new things up. But cultivating spiritual practices, being rooted in God, abiding in the vine, living life in all its fullness, produces in us a freedom and love, breathing the life of God's Spirit into us, which in turn produces joy. Are you ready to be enriched with the joy of our Creator, the one who created joy itself? Are you ready to have your world enlarged? There are many, many ways that we can do this. Anything, in fact, can become a spiritual practice if it helps you discover more of who God is and more of who you are. Walking, journaling, praying, running, meeting friends and Sabbath rest, creating meals or gardens and fasting, studying the world around us or in books, not least the Bible, playing an instrument and silence, solitude and celebration, confession and simplicity can all become spiritual practices that will deepen our understanding of God and cultivate joy. What brings you life? Prayer has got to be the key to cultivating a spiritual life. Without communication, there is no relationship. As an only child, I remember many times sitting quietly in the company of grown-ups, making sure I was polite, respectful, didn't talk too much, but remembered to join in with the conversation, which was normally way above my head. It was a little scary in case I said the wrong thing, and at times could be awkward and rather formal. I didn't feel like I fitted in or had much to contribute, but at least I had behaved and not brought disrespect to my parents. I wonder if for some of us prayer conjures up similar images. There is so much we could say about prayer, and the few minutes left is in no way sufficient. I suspect we will return to a whole series dedicated to prayer. So what are the fundamentals? As I was growing up, a talk on prayer would have made my heart sink. The first thing that came to mind were those prayer meetings where people sat in a circle on hard chairs, heads bowed, and we listened to the usual people recite their usual topic of prayer, even if the theme of the meeting was something entirely different. It was long, boring and dull, with awkward silences, apart from the embarrassing times when two people started to pray out loud at once. But at least I had done my duty. Ruth Rice writes, "In years of being an activist Christian with a good quiet time ethic, I had never really paused long enough to develop anything deep enough to sustain my soul. My prayer life was as hard at work as the rest of my life. Enjoyable, but exhausting and demanding." Contrast this with Carl Rayner's comment that a person who is with God in awe and love, then he is praying. And Ronald Bronheiser says prayer is relaxing into God's goodness. Or prayer is like sunbathing in God's presence. How's your prayer life? Does it feel like sunbathing in God's presence? Do you come away feeling refreshed, like you've just spent the afternoon having caught up with a friend, laughed and cried together, put the world to rights and deepened your relationship? Or do you come away feeling like you've done your duty? If the latter, then I would suggest we need to try some new forms of prayer or revisit old ones. Our prayer life should be anything but dull. We're invited to be in a relationship with God, and prayer is perhaps the primary way that we can develop intimacy with the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer of the universe. Jesus' disciples lived in a culture where rhythms of prayer were a huge part of daily life. They'd had years of praying, yet they saw something different in Jesus' prayer life and the outward effects it had on him. So so much so that they asked him how to pray. His response is what we now call the Lord's Prayer. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Whilst it is the best known and recited prayer of all time, I think that what Jesus was teaching us is the format of prayer. It begins with praising God, putting him front and centre of our lives. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then invites us to consider bringing about God's rule and reign into the fabric of our world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We then turn to thanking God for all that he provides and asking him into the situations where we or others need more to sustain us. Give us today our daily bread. And then confession, recognising that we have a way to go, opening up the way of forgiveness, seeking it for ourselves before handing over to God the wrongs committed against us by forgiving others. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Finally, we pray for those facing difficult situations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But we also need to remember that prayer is a conversation with God. It's two-way. Our words are not more important than his. Yet I wonder how many of us spend as much time in contemplation and listening as we do in chatting over our worries. Listening, being still in God's presence, using our imagination and paying attention are vitally important to prayer. I wonder if sometimes God is laughing as we say our bit, then rush off to get on with our lives, only for him to be left standing there, ready to offer his perspective or the answer or the comfort that we need, and we've already sped off out the door. Contemplative prayer isn't inaction. It's drawing deeply on the Holy Spirit so that all of our lives are imbued with a sense of God's presence. The opposite of contemplative prayer isn't inaction, it's reaction. If we aren't abiding in God, then we needlessly react to life situations from a place within ourselves and not from God's perspective. We should be living and loving out of a place of abiding in God's love, an inner place of yielding and releasing to God as Jesus did. He wasn't swayed by people's negative reactions or their attempts to trick him. He was rooted in his heavenly Father. Our spiritual life is invisible, yet it forms us, and its effects can be outwardly seen. People will recognise the fruits. Whether you're a fan of liturgy, enjoying regular rhythms of prayer, arrow prayers, shooting up quick prayers, asking God for his guidance, soaking in God's presence in the stillness whilst outdoors or for a walk, lighting a candle, or praying for someone whilst you iron their clothes, praying maybe while doodling their name, or while you read the newspaper for world events, sitting in silence or listening to music. Remember that there are many ways that we can converse with our Creator and that he delights when we spend time in his presence, whether audibly, inaudibly, with word or action. Can I encourage you to try some different forms of prayer over the coming weeks? Find out how others pray, what enriches them. What works for you will be unique, so don't compare yourself to others, but giving it a go is important. I've recently learned how to crochet, and I'm now at that stage where I can do a few stitches without even thinking or paying much attention. My practice has made the blanket softer and looser. It's not so rigid and forced, and I'm finding it more of a joy and less difficult. And that's how prayer should be in our lives. But there are also new colours and patterns that I've yet to explore that will enrich my limited repertoire. There are echoes of grace that God is wanting to show us in every sphere of our daily lives. If you had to live your life again, how would you want to practice prayer? Brennan Manning writes, "What makes authentic disciples is not visions, ecstasies, biblical mastery of chapter and verse, or spectacular success in the ministry, but a capacity for faithfulness. As we explore ways in which we can cultivate growth in our spiritual lives, let's begin with trying some new forms of prayer. Not just ones we've always done, but some new ways that add depth and colour to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's finish by praying Psalm 103 together. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. We praise you, God, for your might and strength, yet your openness for the weak and poor. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We thank you for all that you provide for us, for the daily blessings that you pour out on us. Who forgives all your sins. Lord, we confess those things which we have said, thought and done, which have dishonoured you, and those things that we have left undone. And heals all your diseases. Jesus, we ask for healing for all who are unwell in mind, body and spirit, including Myra and Richard and others with COVID at this time. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Spirit of God, we ask that you liberate all those who are in debt, those who are looking for work, those in dangerous situations, those with addictions, and those in places of war. Would they know your love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Father, we thank you for your love towards us. As we sit in the silence, may your spirit fill us, renew us and remake us, we pray. Amen.